You're listening to Magic Indulgence from More Than, the insurer that does more.
London's Magic 105.4, and our guest on Indulgence tonight is certainly on my wish list of guests we'd like to get on this programme. He has been a voice of Steely Dan, the lead singer for a time with the Doobie Brothers, and memorable solo hits and collaborations as well with people like James Ingram and Patti LaBelle. I'm really thrilled to be welcoming Michael McDonald to Magic 105.4. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And looking very well indeed.
Well, you're nice to say that.
You haven't changed a bit since that iconic album cover, the Doobie Brothers album, back in the late 1970s.
Boy, wow. It's getting thick in here.
An album of soul covers you've got out now called Soul Speak.
Yes.
It's an interesting title. Where does that come from?
Well, it was kind of alluding to what I thought was the common thread on the record. Whereas the first two Motown records were, exclusively Motown artists.
Right. These are recent albums you've done of Motown cover songs.
Yes, this is the third in album for Motown in the U.S., Universal Music Group here in the U.K. That was the common thread. You know, they were Motown artists, Motown songs. Where this album, we kind of opened the door to a little wider range and gamut of artists and songs, and we even did some original music on it, looking for that common thread as it would pertain to this record. It was more of a kind of a spiritual thread, in terms of the songs themselves. Being that they were songs that, we know the lyrics, we know the melody, but there's a little more to it, that keeps them, vital to us. Even 30 years later, we hear these songs, and why do we love them as much as we did the first time we heard them? You know, there's something kind of subliminal about these songs, and they seem to kind of speak to us on a soul level, in an innate way that, like I said, says more than the melody, says more than the literal translation of the lyrics.
And the first song we're going to play from the album straight off is a real magic favorite from two of our favorite artists. In fact, it was originally a duet, George Michael and Aretha Franklin, and you've chosen to cover I Knew You Were Waiting. Now, what have you found in that song?
Well, that was a suggestion from one of the A&R guys at the label, Tony Swain, and Simon, who wrote the song.
This is Simon Climie.
Simon Climie, my producer, who's a talented songwriter. It just happened to be one of my favorite songs, when he mentioned it. He'd mentioned to me on the first two albums that he'd written that song, and I was surprised to know that because it was one of my favorites. One of those records I remember where I was when I heard it, and I thought George Michael is such a lucky stiff, doing a duet with Aretha Franklin, but... And it was a great record. The two of them sounded marvelous together. And the song really warranted such an event. It was, to me, one of those newer R&B songs that already felt like a classic,
And that's where we play the song. Fantastic. Tonight, the Magic Indulgence is of... Tonight on Magic Indulgence, we have Michael McDonald with us today. There's song number one from his new album, Soul Speak. We'll play more from that album. And that was originally a duet, of course, by George Michael with Aretha Franklin. Now, I believe they didn't meet when they recorded that. And your duet, back in the 1980s as well, with Patti LaBelle, I hear you didn't meet either.
That's right. Well, that's not so uncommon in the recording industry these days. And it's funny, I don't know that maybe something isn't lost from the old days when Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell or whoever, Nancy Wilson and Brooke Benton, is that right, did their duets. You can tell they were at the microphone together.
Looking at each other, connecting across the studio.
And making that connection. Although, it's easily done. For me, when I did my duet with Patti, at first... I thought to myself, I'd rather do it this way because she was such an incredibly intense performer and had such an impressive presence when she sings live. Knowing myself, I thought, I would probably, kind of come off like a hayseed or something, in the combination. But when I finally got the chance to perform with her live, I really enjoyed it.
And you have actually met since time.
We actually didn't meet until we performed the song live on The Tonight Show, which is a big show in the U.S.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson used to be the host at that time. And so it was kind of, you know, interesting and kind of felt a little scary to, you know, to have that be our first occasion to actually meet, rehearse the song, and go on live television and do it. But it was a wonderful experience. And she's really a doll. She's a sweet, sweet lady. Yeah.
Next song choice from you. We're going to go to the Beach Boys, God Only Knows. Is this the kind of music you were listening to growing up in St. Louis?
Yes. You know, I've always been you know, I don't know that I'm an avid music listener. I am in the course of my everyday life. You know, I hear a lot of music. I was never, but you know, for me, music was always kind of an ambience that was always around me, you know.
Sure.
For years, I didn't even own a record player, you know, but I worked as a musician. It was kind of weird, you know. But I never really seemed to, you know, spend kind of the formal hours of sitting and listening to records in my house. You know, I heard records when I was sleeping on people's floors, who actually owned stereos, and traveling in bands. And
I guess the radio as well, as you're traveling around.
And for me, most of my musical education came over a car radio, you know.
Yeah.
This was a song that really hit me. You know, it was one of those strangely beautiful gems of melody and chord progression that every once in a while emerges in the pop music scene, you know. You know, an artist that I kind of think of today that reminds me a lot of Brian Wilson is Imogene Heap, you know, and in her songs that they have such a wonderful, you know, kind of unique beauty about them, you know, and her style of writing and her voice. And,
right.
But this was just one of those great combinations of unusual but beautiful melody and an unusual chord progression and production for a pop record that at the same time sometimes these records come out and people immediately are drawn to them even though they don't fit the formula mold of what you know most A&R people would say, oh, you could never do a song like that, or that will never fly on pop radio. It's amazing. You know, Steely Dan was always like that to me. They were a group that the fact that they were the darlings of mainstream radio in the U.S. is astounding to me, you know, because their songs are great, beautiful, but you got to admit, strange for
not
pop radio.
Not immediately not, catchy, yeah.
Yeah, not... not
or hookable, in other words.
Not, yeah, not something you've heard before.
Yeah, sure. That's where we play the Beach Boys, lovely. Our indulgence guest tonight on Magic 105.4 is a wonderful singer. Michael McDonald is with us. Michael, when did you notice, when did it, was it first apparent to you that you could actually do this incredible thing called sing?
That's a good question. I think what happened to me, if I can, my best recollection was my dad was a singer as a kid, and my earliest memories of him singing are some of my most vivid, you know.
Wow, yeah.
It's been told to me that at some point I tugged on his sleeve and asked him if I could, you know, have a shot at it in some pub.
What kind of stuff was he singing?
Well, he was an Irish tenor, you know, in a kind of a classic American pop sense, you know, of what Americans perceive to be an Irish tenor. And that largely consisted of a lot of American Irish pop songs of the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know. But Danny Boy was his big song, you know, and
what a song.
Yeah, he could sing it. He really was, had a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, he seemed to have a certain popularity with all the friends and strangers that he would sing for and in different neighborhood bars, you know, or pubs, you know, as they should call them here. But at any rate, at some point, for whatever reason, they put me on the bar at about 4, and I sang, I think it was Love is a Many Splendored Thing or something crazy for a 4-year-old. And they all applauded, and I thought that they thought I was really great, you know. But from that moment on, I kind of considered myself a singer, you know.
Yeah. And you're a baritone, but you have this ability to hit an upper level, don't you? You can... You know, on some of those Doobie tracks, you went into a kind of a higher register, I think.
Yeah, I actually would say that I'm more of a tenor myself, you know.
Right. Do you find you're getting lower as you get older? Can you?
Oh yeah, yeah. A few things are actually getting. Yeah, my voice being only one of them. I feel like, you know, your voice is such a changing instrument. Mm. You know, with years, you know, you. I think most singers find that you have to just kind of follow it, you know, and yes. and you know, look for your strengths at any given age. When I was younger, for instance, I had a lot more falsetto, and I was able to sing the higher parts, which is basically how I got hired for Steely Dan. I was able to sing a lot of the high parts in my full voice,
sure.
And I had a falsetto if I needed it. But as the years wore on, it was a changing thing. My voice is a different instrument now, and I just kind of try to make the best of it as I go. But
yeah.
Clean living helps, you know.
We've been hearing a lot, clean living, which is something that you do now, but maybe not back in those days,
probably not.
You mentioned there about the falsetto. We've heard a lot about the Four Seasons. We have this musical, Jersey Boys.
Yes.
Which is just, it's been huge in America. It's just opened here. Did you ever hear the music of the Four Seasons on the radio imitate that?
I was a huge fan of the Four Seasons. I was actually in a band a long time. I lived in St. Louis. We had one guy that sang much like Frankie Valli and Carl Wilson, you know, the Beach Boys.
Right.
So our big thing was, we were kind of a pre-Sha-Na-Na, if you know. We did all the stuff that was kind of considered retro even then.
Yes.
So while everybody else was playing acid rock, we were doing the Beach Boys medleys and the Four Seasons medleys. And we actually carved out a little niche for ourselves in our local, area there. Yeah.
We'll never forget those songs because they are great tracks, aren't they? And next, a song from your choice of songs. You've given us an Annie Lennox track here, Walking on Broken Glass.
Yeah. I always love that record. I love that whole album, frankly. And I love Annie Lennox. She's just such a great artist that, you know, she, again, one of those people that kind of holds her place in pop music, but brings so much more to the genre, you know, I think, in terms of being an artist and a kind of an intelligence with her music or songs she's written. And that was one of them. I just thought the lyric was so great. You know, it's one of those subjects that we've all talked about, we've all thought about, we've all experienced, but very few songs have been written about that, that phase of a relationship where, you know, it's kind of a tenuous,
things are tough,
period. Yeah, you know,
that's where we'll play the song. Okay,
cool.
Talking to Michael McDonald on our Indulgence program tonight, and you mentioned earlier your album's released on Universal in this country, the album Soul Speak, but in the USA it is actually on the Motown record label. And I'm thinking you are a Motown fan because you've done two albums of Motown covers.
Oh, very much so.
So what did that feel like to finally see the name Michael McDonald on the Motown record label?
Something I never dreamed, would ever happen. And it meant a lot to me because of growing up in that era, you know. I mean, I grew up in the era when the Temptations were the newest thing on their airwaves, and Marvin Gaye was just one of the newer Motown artists. The Miracles and the Temptations were really the top of the roster, you know.
Did you get to see those guys? Because
I didn't really, as a kid, get to see the many acts live. You know, I did once in a while under an odd show here or there that I either snuck into or somehow wound up at. But it was rare that those acts really toured through St. Louis at the time I grew up. But I forgot your question.
It's okay. Just ask you, did you see those acts? But I was going to ask you about the first concert that I read that you went to see, 1968, The Doors. Is that true?
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
It could just be this morning, but no. I don't remember.
You don't remember that? Okay.
No, sorry.
I picked up some wrong information there. Okay. And you're obviously a lover of soul music, and the man who did this song originally, Teddy Pendergrass, one of the finest voices. So pretty brave to cover Love TKO. Not that I'm saying you're not up to it, but...
Oh, well, no, thank you. It was. You know, a lot of these songs were really daunting, and, you know, the beauty of it is when you get into studio, if it's not working out very well or if the producer's kind of either laughing or staring at you blankly. You can always toss it, you know. I mean, yeah. No one else has to hear it but sure. the two of you. So it's good if you're a good friend with the producer. But
I suppose that you need that relationship, don't you? You need somebody who can actually say, Michael McDonald, love you, respect you, and fantastic, but this is not working.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. But as far as doing that song, I actually became reacquainted with the song through Hall & Oates. They did it one night. We were opening for them on the road somewhere, and I remembered hearing Daryl sing it, and I thought, I forgot about that song. I love that song. And didn't really think much about whether I would ever do it or not, but when we started this record, it just kind of came back to me that I had heard that song, and I wanted to hear the Teddy Pendergrass version just to, you know, kind of revisit it. And once we did, we were, you know, kind of fell in love with it all over again and decided to put it on our list. Yeah.
Well, it's a terrific song, and I'm glad you covered it. Here it is, Love TKO from the album Soul Speak, Michael McDonald. Okay, we've got another link there, haven't we? Okay.
This is off the back of an ad break.
Off the back of an ad break, okay. It's the Sunday Night Indulgence programme, sharing an hour with Michael McDonald. More from his album Soul Speak coming up in just a moment, and his personal music choices as well. What do you do away from music, Michael, when it's not part of your life? You know, did you ever switch off entirely from the music world?
I used to never. You know, it was when I was younger. I remember saying before that it seemed like I worked and then I would sit around in my bathrobe waiting to go to work again. You know? I mean, for short periods, you know. Yeah. It was a kind of a funny transition having a family, you know. I think the hobbies I've taken up in the years since were more of a escape from my family responsibilities than my work. But,
sure.
No, when I was younger, I was just so singularly focused, you know. And then I'd come off the road or something like that with a band, and you'd spend 2 days staring at the television, you know, watching late night TV or something. And then just leave again when my suitcases were never unpacked, you know, that kind of thing. Once I got married, I tried to strike more of a balance with home, and then, you know, I found that I had time for other pursuits. You know, I like to paint. I started to do that again. I used to draw a lot as a kid, and not very good at it, but I like to do it. And started to kind of revisit instruments I'd played before, you know, things like that. I read a little bit more now than I used to for many years. I like to get down to the water whenever I can. I like the beach, you know.
Where do you live now?
I live in Nashville, not much beach around there, but we get over to Hawaii quite a bit, you know, my wife and I and the kids, and down to the lake and stuff.
Right.
So, you know.
Beautiful. You mentioned him already, and we're going to play a song that you've chosen by Marvin Gaye, not one of the classic Motown songs, but early 80s, Sexual Healing.
I like that song for a lot of reasons. Some of them have to do with the song, some of them have to do with just the magic of hearing Marvin Gaye reemerge, you know, and as good or better than ever, you know. I mean, it was a great record, you know. I thought it was an interesting song, too. You know, I thought it was a very honest, you know, and he didn't just reemerge with something kind of reminiscent or, you know, it was a new, revitalized Marvin Gaye kind of.
Lots of people have made songs about making love, but nobody ever called it sexual healing, did they? I mean,
well, and I think there was something very honest about that. You know, it was a kind of a male perspective. You know, definitely.
Yes.
But I thought it was an interesting message. You know, again, you know, I love songs that are written about the things we always talk about, always think about, but are never quite put in the way that you hear them, you know, in this particular song. I thought it was a very, you know, it could almost be perceived as chauvinistic in a way, but nonetheless true. Well,
that was part of his character, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think if I were, you know, if a woman wants to kind of get inside the psyche of the normal male, That song pretty much, you know.
Listen up, ladies, here it comes.
It's about as honest as you can get, you know.
Okay. I'll let you have your coffee there. We're talking with Michael McDonald on our Indulgence programme tonight, just listening there to Sexual Healing, recorded back in the early 80s. But to me, that still sounds like it might have been just made yesterday. It's incredible, isn't it? The
very
forward
timeless.
Sound of that is absolutely amazing.
Well, and most of what Marvin Gaye does has proven to be timeless, you know, over the years. You know, I think with Marvin Gaye, what was great, too, is there... His message was always so straightforward, but there was always a vulnerability about it, you know. Even in that song, you know, there's a little bit of insight into how, you know, for men, there's so much wrapped up in, you know...
the act of...
getting their ticket punched, you know, by some female.
That's a nice way of putting it. I should imagine you threw away more songs or rejected more songs than you could actually include on this album. 14 tracks, three of them you've written for the album, but, I mean, there's so much music that you could have covered. You've got Van Morrison, Stevie Wonder, even Bob Marley on here.
Yes. You know, again, I think those songs all have something in common to me, you know. Even though musically and genre, speaking genre, they may not seem to, you know. But you know, I think the songs that last, you know, the artists that seem timeless, you know, there's something in their music that is, you know, that deeper level of meaning beyond what the lyrics are literally saying and what the music is literally about.
You know? I think that's a great thing about some pop music. You can accept it on two levels, kind of the happy little pop tune, and then if you listen a little deeper, there might be something further in that you can read into the song.
Yeah, I think on this record we were kind of, without even realizing it ourselves at the time, looking for those songs that kind of said the same thing, which is, you know, the Bob Marley song. At one point, I actually thought that would be a good title, Redemption Song, because they all, in their own way, are about that. You know, it's about that kind of unique human characteristic, which is we're always looking for that in either a place, a person, or a thing, and good or bad, you know. Yeah. That's the endless search of being that's unique to humans, you know.
Yes.
And
what's our purpose?
Yeah,
what's it all about?
You know, what validates me, you know? And you know, that's what I think all the songs have in common. Is I didn't use that as a title because I thought people, I was advised that people might think it was a gospel album, you know.
Okay. So. Yeah. And I Can See Clearly Now is a next song choice from Johnny Nash. Kind of a light reggae feel to this tune, isn't there?
I really liked Johnny Nash a lot. His records, you know, Hold Me Tight and this one.
Yeah.
They were the first experience with reggae music that I, you know, or that, you know, Jamaican artists that I had ever had, and it was back in the 60s on pop radio, you know. It was like, for many of us, we heard a lot of music that was, you know, unique to certain regions, like New Orleans. There were some great records, Alan Toussaint records, and as I got older, I appreciated them more from a historical or traditional view of the songs, you know, that they were kind of region specific, or that they were culturally, you know, kind of born of a certain culture, you know, in the U.S. But you know, so when I first heard Johnny Nash, I just loved the songs. I never really thought that anything about where they came from or where he came from, or you know. So it was interesting. I look back on them kind of fondly now because I realized that I was actually hearing reggae music for the first time, you know.
And that's where we'll play the song. Fantastic. Okay. We're with Michael McDonald on our Indulgence program tonight, and we're playing some of the tracks from his new album. We're going to finish off with one of my favorite artists of all time. You've covered him, Stevie Wonder. Do you know the man?
Yes. I met, had the pleasure of meeting Stevie a couple of times. So once long ago, the first time I met him was we both appeared on a Ray Charles anniversary celebration.
Remember
years
that?
Ago.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people on that, and you know what I was impressed with by Stevie Wonder, as much as we've all are impressed with his career and his music, upon meeting him the first time was just how genuine and how relaxed with people he seemed to be, you know, and by genuine I mean genuinely cordial, friendly man, you know, and he didn't specifically have to know you from Adam, you know, to be very, you know, pleasant to talk to, and you felt like you were having a sincere conversation with someone. And I remember thinking, you know, the first time I met him that, you know, I was impressed by that. And it's every time I've met him since, I've been in a renewed sense impressed by that. I've seen him in many situations in public where people tend to clamor around him. And the fact that he's a blind man, you know, you would think that would be a little disconcerting, you know, or disorienting or something, you know. And it doesn't seem to faze him. And he seems to somehow... make time for everyone. There could be 20 people, you know, tapping him on the shoulder, and within minutes he'll have some kind of very very sincere exchange with all these people.
And how wonderful!
It's kind of a talent I think that most of us wish we had. You know?
I think it's called charisma as well, isn't it? And they don't sell that anymore, do they? Really?
No, you know, and it's just something to also in his I think just in his personal spirit that it kind of comes through when you see. You know, I think we all have had the experience of meeting people that we might have. Wondered what they were like, you know, and he's certainly one of those people that I was very impressed by, you know.
And so many songs you could have chosen, but this is absolutely wonderful, Living for the City.
Yeah, I love that song the first time I heard it. I loved Ray Charles' version of that song, too, you know. And it's a song that, you know, it's kind of proof that beyond just being Stevie Wonder, he's a great songwriter, you know. His songs... you know, seem to have the same kind of ability to live on, and they seem as vital no matter who does them. You know, they hold up as songs, you know. You know, that song I thought just had such a wonderful message, especially given the time it was written, you know, that...
1973, I think.
Yeah, that there's still such a disparity in you know, the you know, that in America, you know, for us, there was such a bottom falling out of the inner city cultures, you know, and people that were looking for, you know, again, redemption by coming to these places where that, you know, that what they actually would find in reality was a very loose screen that seemed to drop more people than it caught, you know.
Great, that's good.
Cool, so if you just do a little wrap-up on the back of that.
Michael McDonald from the album Soul Speak there, his version of Stevie Wonder's Living for the City. Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure. We mentioned earlier that you have got three songs that you wrote yourself on this album. It's not entirely covers, is it? I mean, are you going to spend a bit more time working on your own music now? Now you've done, the last three albums have been Motown and soul music covers.
Yeah, I think, you know, I it's a little daunting from this perspective after doing these three albums to actually go back
and guess so,
try to write the songs myself. You know, I think I've mistakenly raised the bar for myself. But I look forward to doing that. I think on the next record, you know, I'll, you know, kind of venture back into that more. And I think it's just time for me to explore that again, you know. I've always been writing in the meantime, you know, but haven't really had a chance to record the stuff. You know, I have it logged somewhere in every conceivable fashion, you know. Yeah. So once I kind of get time to sit down and peruse through it all and see what works and what was just, you know, a lapse of conscious, logic, I look forward to that opportunity. I'd like to get back in the studio and start recording some original material.
Yeah. Well, so do we. And you're coming over for some live dates later in the year as well. Birmingham, also London in June and Manchester as well. So we're looking forward to seeing Michael McDonald back on stage.
Well, thanks.
I've got a feeling you prefer that among of all the things you do.
Well, it's so different than recording, but it is. I probably enjoy... at least, especially singing, I enjoy singing live more than I enjoy singing in the studio, you know. But it's something we maintain our time for, and we still love to do it, you know, and love coming over here and playing. It's just, there's great audiences here, you know.
Michael McDonald, thank you very much for spending an hour with us. Listen for that album called Soul Speak. And coming up next, it's Angie Greaves with our Mellow Magic.
You've been listening to Magic Indulgence with More Than, indulging you with its personal customer manager service. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcast.